You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Today I'm really happy to talk to Delphine, the co-founder of Salo. First of all, I really have to thank her because for some reason we had some audio trouble the last time I recorded with her, and this was the second time she was coming on the show to record with me, and I really appreciated all of her time and help in doing that. So thank you, Delphine, for coming back on the show and doing this again. But I really wanted to get her on the show because these guys are doing something really amazing. They're taking a simple concept of boating and making it accessible to people. Salo is an online boat rental marketplace that connects renters, boat owners, and captains. And Delphine is the co-founder with another woman co-founder, Magda. It's a male-dominated industry, and these two women are making waves in this industry. Fun to hear about what Salo is doing, how they're going, and how they're gaining traction. We talked to Delphine about how she met her co-founders, how they all started the company, and how they're building their own brand in this competitive environment. And also, pay special attention to Delphine when she talks about their customer feedback and the way they build their brand strategy based on their customer and the rental feedback that they got. I think that's really important to do your groundwork and have a clarity on your brand strategy to move forward. Also, they are so generous and they have given a 20% off for any boat rental to all of our listeners. So listeners, if you are in any of the places like the Jersey Coast or New York or the Hamptons or Florida, and you would like to take a boat out for a fun day with the family, go get it. Type in womanpreneur in your coupon code and you'll get a 20% off. Thank you so much, you guys at Salo, and y'all are awesome. So before we get right into it with Delphine, don't forget to go on www.womanpreneursuccess.com/11, and you'll get to see all of our show notes and resources from this episode. And also make sure you subscribe to our podcast so that all of our episodes are delivered right to your phone even before you wake up. Let's get on with it with Delphine. Delphine, how are you?
Hi, Smita. I'm very good. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Now, before we get into the interview, I do want to thank you so much for taking the time out and coming back on the show. You know, for all our listeners, we had recorded the show almost a month ago, and for some reason, my whole audio was gone after 14 minutes. So I was like, oh my God. And I called Delphine and I said, listen, it's gone. And, you know, would you have another time? And she was so gracious to say, yes, let's do it. So thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm really happy to be here and to be talking with you. So my pleasure.
Thank you, Delphine. So Delphine, let's tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us, I know you're in New York, and how did you get from, and you're from Belgium originally, right?
Yeah, I'm originally from Belgium.
So how did you get from Belgium to New York and to founding Salo, which is a boat rental company?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, so I'm originally from New York. After college, where I studied in Switzerland, I worked for the Nestle headquarters in Switzerland in various sales and marketing roles. And then I came to New York to go to Columbia Business School. And it's actually at business school that I met, you know, my amazing co-founders, and together we decided to start our startup, which is, as you said, called Salo. So it's an online boat rental marketplace that connects people who want to rent boats with boat owners and captains. And so, you know, once we launched that, I decided to stay in New York. You know, it's a website that makes it possible for more people to enjoy the boating lifestyle. So as a user, you can go on the website and you can search and compare boats and captains based on photos, descriptions, pricing, location, as well as the type of activities you want to do. We have a large variety of types of boats, price points, lots of different captains. And the goal is really to make boating accessible and affordable for everyone from, you know, first timers to more experienced boaters. We launched in November in Florida at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show and spent the winter in Florida. And we're now, you know, we've now started the season in the New York area. So we're in New York, New Jersey, the Hamptons, Connecticut. And we have about a little over 200 boats available for rent across South Florida and in the New York area. And that goes from like small power boats to luxury yachts and sailboats. So there's really a boat for everyone.
I love that. So, and this is your busiest time, is it, summer?
Yeah, it's great. Well, this winter was pretty busy in Florida because the high season is really, you know, between December and March. But now, yeah, it's very busy in New York. We've started, you know, getting a lot of demand and our boats are going out a lot. So
awesome. That's wonderful. So tell me, you came to Columbia Business School. How did you meet your founders? How did you decide these are the right kind of people that I would want to co-found a company with?
Sure. So Adrian, who's our CEO. So I met him in class. And he came up with the idea initially. He came up with the idea when he was traveling to Greece, and he was part of the Columbia Business School Sailing Club, and he was helping, you know, organize that trip, and he was just shocked to see such a big industry with so much money that was completely unaffected by technology. And our other co-founder is Magda, so she's also a very accomplished woman. She's actually based out of Florida right now, leading our business over there. So I think in terms of building a team, there are a few really important factors that you need to consider whether you're building the team or whether you're joining a team. I think the first thing is you need to find people with different skills than yours, so who are good at things that you're not good at. So you want people to have knowledge and different personalities so that you can really build on that and create a full business where, you know, everything necessary to build a business is available across the different personalities. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is you need to make sure you get along. Mm-hmm. In the end, you spend a lot of time together and you need to make sure that you can handle that, especially when you're working in a small startup, you spend a lot of time together. So, for example, in our team, Adrian, so he's an engineer by training. He's also, you know, the visionary and he has a great eye for design, and you know, he's really a strategist. Mm. Our other co-founder, Magda, she's amazing at operations, project management, creating processes. And then there's Bogdan, who's our CTO. He's an amazing engineer, and my skills lie in marketing and business development. So we're all very different, but I guess what we all have in common is the fact that we're really passionate about the business, and we're also, you know, hustlers. We like to make things happen.
Absolutely. Before we go into, you know, the investing part of it and how y'all went about pitching and stuff like that, all the fun stuff, I do want to ask you, you're the marketing and you're taking the charge on that. What do you think was your biggest hurdle building a brand from scratch?
I guess building a brand from scratch, I mean, the key thing about your brand is going to be like the message. Like, what's the goal of the company and what's the key message that you want to communicate to people? So what was really helpful for us, we did a lot of customer discovery. Hmm. So that included focus groups, face-to-face interviews, surveys, and just, you know, really talking to people and understanding, you know, what's important to them and why are people not going on boats today? And, you know, how we can overcome that hurdle for them. So it's really understanding the consumer. In our case, we have a few different kinds of customers because, you know, we have the boat owners, we have the captains, and then we have people who want to rent. So, you know, what's the key message that we're going to share with the boat owners? You know, what's really important to them? What's the value proposition? And how are we going to communicate that? And then the same thing in terms of the renters, because you really have two types of consumers. You have people who are already passionate or interested in boating and are already going out. So, you know, the key thing about our platform is that we make it really easy because the current industry is very antiquated and it's mostly offline. It doesn't offer a lot of price transparency. It can be a bit of a hassle because you have to, you know, manually connect with all of the different boat charter companies. So the key message to them is, you know, how easy and seamless it is. Like now they can just do it in a few clicks, whereas before it could take hours or days. And then in terms of people who haven't really been on boats yet, which is really where we plan on growing the market, the key thing for them is to make it top of mind and to show them that this is something that they can do, that it's easy to do, that it's accessible, and that they can afford to do it as well. So it's like, how do you make that top of mind? What's the key message? So customer discovery was the biggest thing in terms of building a brand.
Hmm. So did you have like a timeline and you said, okay, we're going to spend so much time going out and talking to customers and getting their feedback? I'm sure it's a continuous process where you're continuously updating and upgrading. But how long would you have spent to build a clear brand message?
When you're in a startup, you do customer discovery on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, I was on the Jersey Shore and I was meeting with marinas and boat owners and charter companies. And, you know, every time you speak to more people, you learn more and more about what their needs are. Mm-hmm. Definitely in the beginning, it's important to do a lot of that because that's what you're going to base your business on. So when Adrian and Magda first told me, you know, about the idea and, you know, should we do this? I mean, that was one of the first things I did. You know, I spoke to people. I spoke to people to see, you know, is this something you would do? You have to really make sure that people are going to be excited and are going to get emotionally connected. Mm-hmm. So I think you definitely need to spend, you know, several weeks doing it in the beginning, but then you're continuously doing it in every conversation you have and every marketing campaign, looking at the feedback. You're building on that knowledge of your consumer.
Right. And what did you do if they said, you know what, I'm not very interested?
Well,
you know, because it's always that it's a double-edged sword, because some people are super excited. They're like, yes, it's going to work. And, you know, you all need to go ahead and do it. And then some are like, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, the naysayers, how do you get past them?
Well, I have to say we're pretty lucky because it's not difficult to convince somebody that going out on a boat is fun.
Right.
We very rarely hear somebody who's going to say, oh, no, that sounds terrible.
Right, right. And you have a very novel concept, too. So I think that really plays out great.
In terms of like in general, when you're talking to people who might not be interested, you know, you also have to define who your target market is.
Yes.
You know, who are the people who are going to use this? And obviously, when you're doing customer discovery, you want to talk to those people because those are basically the ones that you're trying to get to use the platform as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So tell me, Delphine, you are a relatively newer startup. What are maybe some of the challenges that you have gone through in the past 8-10 months? And now you've gone through it and you're like, okay, we've learned this. Maybe one big challenge.
I have to say probably the most challenging thing is the lack of time. There's just so many things mm-hmm. that we need to do. So learning how to prioritize, because there's always going to be too many things to do that can humanly be done possible. And you always, you know, you're always thinking about, okay, the next step, we need to get this and done. And you need to prioritize that and figure out, you know, what really needs to be done now, what has to be perfect, what you can go without as well, and make decisions on what you're not going to do, which can be hard because you always want to be able to do everything.
Yes, absolutely.
So being able to prioritize has been really important to us. And it's something that we the co-founders, we talk every week. And we, you know, we talk about all the different projects we're working on, and we together we prioritize on what the key things are to make sure that we're always on track. And then another thing that can be difficult, especially when you're starting a company, is to step back and see the difference between what the short-term goals are and what the long-term strategy is. So, you know, step back and see the global picture. As well as, you know, just get the things done that you want to get done in the next few weeks.
I love that. And it's so exciting, isn't it?
It is. It is. Every day I get up and I jump out of bed.
Right. I love that. Do you guys have any particular tools that you all use maybe for prioritizing, or maybe just personally that you use?
Yeah, so we're big fans of Trello. So Trello is great in terms of creating, you know, tasks and prioritizing, because you can organize, you know, you create different different tasks, and it's in a little box that you can move around. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you might have seen, you know, in that show Silicon Valley, they have that big board with post-its mm-hmm. that they're moving around.
Yes.
So Trello is basically, you know, an online version of that board of post-its.
Right, right.
so that's been very helpful. And then we also work with Jira in terms of the website. So Jira is great to organize, you know, what the next, to schedule different enhancements that are coming on the website. And they're also great for flagging out bugs or improvements. So from a marketing standpoint, I can use that tool to show what's going on the website that I think would be better from a consumer point of view. Mm-hmm. So those are two tools that we use a lot.
Awesome. So tell me, how has your pitching process, how's your funding process been?
It's been very good. I mean, you know, from the beginning, we decided to do to build the company, and very quickly realized, you know, that if you want to get the idea off the ground, you need to be able to pay for things like people, office space, you know, website hosting, marketing, business development. So we started by raising money from, you know, friends, family, and some individual angel investors who really loved the idea and wanted to help us take it to the next level. We approached them in a very professional manner, you know, presenting them with the opportunity, our strategy, forecasts, the whole plan. Mm-hmm. In general, in terms of connecting with investors and talking about, you know, how you pitch your idea to new investors, a mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make is that, you know, they tend to like go on and on. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to make it really short and sweet and be very clear on like what your business is and why you're the right team. And while doing that, it is nice to tell an engaging story about, you know, about the company and why the team is so passionate about it. The key is really to get people intrigued and want to learn more. It's sort of like going on a first date. You know, you you get people interested. You talk about the big picture and like why this is important, what the problem is, how far you've come, why your team is the right one. Mm-hmm. And then in the next meetings, you can talk more about, you know, the business model, market size. You can go a little bit more in detail later on.
Right. So when you went through your first round of funding to start up, did you have any customers at that point?
No. So okay. We raised money before launching the website.
Right.
And so now we have many customers now. Right. We just started fundraising for another round. So now we
Wonderful.
Do have customers. We have traction in the market, which does make it a lot easier.
Right, exactly. And that's what I was going to ask, because, you know, I've heard a lot of times that it's easier to sell numbers versus ideas. So I think that now you guys are doing so great, and I bet there's so much market for it. I think you guys will have a wonderful round. That's awesome. Tell me, Delphine, as a woman entrepreneur, what are some of your success factors? What are the things that you think are working great for you and you would love for others to learn from you?
I think one of the key things for women entrepreneur is not to sit back. You know, I feel like as women, like we need to step up and not take a backseat in meetings. For example, my co-founder Magda and I, we're both women, and, you know, we work in two male dominated industries. Mm-hmm. Technology is one. And then obviously boating is another one. But we both noticed that if you're really confident, you're really passionate and you really know what you're talking about, and you talk with a lot of confidence, people mm-hmm. will listen. They'll respect you. I think also as women, we need to, you know, play on our strengths. As women, we bring a different point of view and different skills to different industries. We need to, instead of trying to act like men, women need to take advantage of their skills. You know, we can be better at building relationships that can last on the long term.
And that's so true, because I think we, like you said, you know, build on your own strengths, because we ourselves have so many things, even as individuals, that we are so apart from other people. And I think you're so right, is to just do that versus trying to be somebody you're not.
Exactly.
Definitely. So tell me, Delphine, did you guys have any mentors?
Yes, we definitely have. I've been fortunate enough to have several people guide me throughout my career and in life in general. I think mentors are really valuable, but I'd like to maybe remind everyone listening that you don't necessarily have to have a formal mentor relationship where you're having scheduled meetings, but it's just great to have people that you can call up for guidance about different issues or different problems you're trying to solve. Sometimes a mentor who's outside of your field can be helpful because they'll be providing a different perspective, but it's definitely really valuable to have somebody who cares about you and who cares about the business and is really looking out for your best interests by giving you, you know, real advice, real feedback about what you're doing and how you're going about it. I think also that you can find a good mentor anywhere. It doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that you've known forever. So I think that everybody needs to, you know, make an effort to get out there, attend lots of networking events, talk about your idea and see who's showing an interest. I think also for young women who might just be out of graduate school or even undergrad, reaching out to like a favorite professor can be helpful as well. And they can also connect you to people or just somebody who you've met that you really admire and who's shown an interest in the company or in you.
Those are some great tips. And I think that's so right. We tend to forget that, especially in the universities, you know, reach out to those professors and they have a lot of guidance that they could give you.
Yeah, exactly. And they also oftentimes, you know, have a network of people that they can they can also introduce you to.
Absolutely. So y'all are still, I would say, relatively new. You know, what do you think are some of the critical steps in building a company or building a brand?
Sure. So I think the first one, when you come up with an idea, is you want to be able to validate the idea. And this goes back to customer discovery. So really talking to potential customers and finding out if somebody, you know, people would actually use your product, and then look at, you know, the market size, feasibility of the execution and building a plan. So I'd say, you know, validating it is the first step. The second step is really the people, is making sure that you have the right team. So choosing people who have complementary skills and that are good at things that you're not good at. You know, obviously, as I said before, people who you get along with. And then I think the third most important thing in building a company is being able to hustle. You're going to need to do a lot of legwork to make the company get off the ground. So like, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and, you know, do cold calls, show up at people's offices without meeting, really encourage people to try the service and product. You're not going to make it happen by being shy and staying in. Just an example is like, I always carry brochures with me because I never know who I'll bump into. So the last time I was in Florida, at the baggage claim, I just walked up to people who might be in town for vacation, told them about the company. And, you know, I told them that we had 200 boats to rent in the area and you know, if they were interested. And we actually got some bookings out of it. I mean, it can be awkward at first to do that, but I believe that's really how you make things happen. Like, not by waiting around, but really like the hustle is huge.
You know, hustle reminds me, I recently heard a quote from Gary Vaynerchuk, and he said, ideas are worth nothing. It's the action that counts. And I think that really explains hustle in a very succinct way.
You know, we just need to get on with it and just be, like I say, be bold and be fearless. And you're the epitome of that. So awesome, Delphine. So if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice, what would it be?
I think maybe in terms of funding, I'll give a piece of advice. In the end, like, every startup needs financial help, but finding an investor is so much more than just writing a check. Find somebody who not only, you know, loves the idea and the team, but who can also help you in other ways. It's a little bit like adding a co-founder to your team. Like, once you agree to take someone's money, they're going to be a part of the company for a really long time. So make sure to choose carefully both your team members and your first investors, because they're going to be part of the team for the life of the company.
Absolutely. Can you give us maybe some more instances of maybe how you could leverage your investors?
If you try to choose your investors in terms of also how they can help you out. So for example, at Salo, you know, having investors who have experience in marketplaces, the shared economy, or the boating industry can be extremely helpful, because they can help connect you with the right network. If you're looking to create a partnership, they also, if they have experience in similar business models, they can share those learnings with you, and they can, you know, help you make the right decisions, because they've seen a lot of other founders make similar decisions. They've seen what worked and didn't work. And also just in terms of really understanding the industry, it's always good to have somebody who has that expertise or knowledge.
Awesome. All right. So are you ready for a lightning round?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. This is where we get to know you more intimately, Delphine. So we're ready.
Perfect.
What is the one trophy you would want on your mantle?
I'd love a trophy from the America's Cup.
Oh, wow. Nice. What is your guilty pleasure?
Well, I am Belgian, so I like to melt chocolate in a bowl and eat it with a spoon.
I like that. And what are you currently reading?
So I'm reading The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
Nice.
It's a great book. I really like the fact that, you know, it focuses on someone being so passionate about one thing throughout his entire life. Mm-hmm. And I guess I can relate to that.
Awesome. What is your one productivity tip?
In my case, like emails, like I'm obsessed with, you know, my inbox, and I can't deal with having a full inbox, and I try to address it first thing every day. But I guess to be more productive, I love being able, when we're in Florida for work, I love, you know, an early morning ocean swim before starting the day.
Wow.
It's just really refreshing and clears the mind before the day starts.
Nice. What is your personal motto?
Smile and the world smiles back at you.
Any advice you wish you'd heard or followed?
I'd say don't be afraid to just do what you love, because that makes work seem like play. And in the end, happiness is everything. So
Delphine, it's wonderful. And it actually radiates through you too, because you're just, you sound so excited and you love doing what you're doing. And it's wonderful to see that.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on our show, Delphine, and for doing this again with us.
With pleasure. Also, I'd love to offer a discount to all your listeners.
Oh, yay. Thank you so much.
If they want to book a boat this summer, they can just use the coupon code WOMANPRENEUR and for a 20% discount.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. And I need to go down to Florida, so maybe I'll be using it too.
Well, we'll be in New York and the Hamptons and Jersey this summer too. So
nice. So tell me the different areas you have. So you have New York this summer and Jersey and...
So we're in New York, Connecticut, New Jersey and the Hamptons. And then in Florida, we're in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach, the Keys, St. Petersburg, and expanding.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I wish you all the very best. And, you know, it's a very novel idea. And I bet y'all are going to do wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Delphine.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.